Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. Hello and welcome to the next episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have an episode of somebody I've been wanting to get back on since season one, and that is Kylie Smart. How are you, Kylie?
I'm great, Jane. Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, I was actually reflecting this morning on how far we have come since you came on. Because when you came and spoke initially in our perimenopause PMDD episode, I'm going to put all the show notes into Kylie's older episodes because they're buried down deep. What happened was Kylie started talking about all this PMS and perimenopause. And I actually, to be honest, had to disassociate because I was like so, like I have enough problems. I do not want to see the bus that's coming. But since then, I have really gone more into that space and it is so new and progressive. I've been desperate to get you back on. So welcome to you, Kylie. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name's Kylie Smart. I am an ADHD and women's health naturopath. So I have niched into working with women on their hormones. So mainly neurodivergent women with their hormonal health struggles, because we do have different struggles that are individual to us. So I work with women in my clinic one-on-one online, and I also have an online course called DIY ADHD and also some masterclasses coming up.
Fantastic. So Kylie is a naturopath on the Sunshine Coast, and this episode is the start of the mini-series into hormones, perimenopause, PMS, PMDD, all of the things that I would prefer not to look at, but is really coming forward to me like a truck. So we are going to strap in for the mini series to hormones. The first episode we are going to do is one on histamine. If you'd like to hear an episode that's also similar on histamine from a year and a half ago, at least, I'm going to put that in the show notes because histamine is in there as well. But we are going to go deeper and darker because this is an advanced season. So when we talk about histamine, Kylie, why is it important for ADHD and autistic women?
It's really important because, well, I'll start with what is histamine. So some people may not even know what this is. A lot of people know about histamine because of the histamine medications. So if you have had hay fever or sinus issues, you might go and get a Claritin from the chemist, antihistamine, to help with that. But what a lot of people don't know is that histamine is also a neurotransmitter. So it helps to regulate our dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. So you may have heard of those, at least in relation to ADHD. So it has a unique relationship for neurodivergent women because we do have those differences with our dopamine and our serotonin. So histamine is also the not talked about cousin of dopamine and serotonin. Why it's important and why we're talking about it in this hormone series is because it is actually involved with estrogen as well and can impact PMS, PMDD, and lots of other hormonal issues that we may experience, like hormonal migraines. So why it's particularly prevalent with ADHD as well is because of a few different factors. So firstly, the higher stress load that we have, right? So I'm sure you talk about that all the time on the podcast, that we experience more stress and more overload, overwhelm, which leads to more cortisol, which also impacts our histamine levels and also can contribute to something called mast cell activation. We'll talk about that. Also, the genetic differences that we see with ADHDers and autistic people can impact our histamine and change the way that our histamine is mainly regulated, and the way that we get rid of our histamine out of our body is different.
Okay, so one thing that I've heard mentioned a lot, but then no one's ever gone into it, is this mast cell activation syndrome. So I've talked to people before. We've had someone on talking about POTS, talking about Ehlers-Danlos, but they've mentioned the mast cell, but they're never, I've never actually gotten to the bottom of what it is.
So essentially it's an overactivation of the immune system, of the mast cells, which are part of the immune system. So when we talk about mast cells and we talk about histamine, we need to go back a step and talk about the immune system. This is actually all part of the immune system. And a natural reaction that our body has in the immune system is inflammation. So if you think about when you sprain your wrist or you cut yourself, it'll get red, it'll get puffy. So that's your body's natural inflammatory process that is actually healing. So what can happen is an overactivity of this natural process that your body is trying to heal itself, but it goes over the top. And that's what happens in mast cell activation system syndrome. So you'll have an excessive release of histamines, and you'll also have other immediate inflammatory mediators like cytokines. So you'll have a big inflammatory response. So when we look at histamine, we look at two different things, but they present similarly in the body. So there's histamine intolerance, and then there's mast cell activation, where it's more than just histamine. It's the whole immune system. So with mast cell activation, some of the things you need to think about is what is triggering it. So there's normally something that will trigger it. So like you said, we see it with POTS, we see it with EDS, and some of the triggers with mast cell activation is COVID. So COVID infections, chronic viral infections, which makes sense now when I've just explained how it fits in with the immune system, right? So we have something that activates the immune system and makes it overactive. So viruses, mold in particular, which is very prevalent here on Sunshine Coast and further north from here, how mold can impact you and your gut health as well. So inflammation from the gut can trigger MCAS and also histamine intolerance.
Okay. Although the question, Dad, which is a very autistic question to ask back, is why is it that neurodivergent women experience this?
Well, what I think it comes down to is genetics and sensitivity. So we don't know the exact genetics, but I know what I do see with some of my clients is there are particular genetic differences that can make you be more sensitive to these histamine issues, also related to dopamine and serotonin as well. So there's some enzymes, then we can have variations on those enzymes. So genetics is like a whole other thing, but these genes work in multiple areas on the body. So they're working at detoxifying your histamine, but also your serotonin and your dopamine.
Okay.
So they have multiple actions, and then these multiple actions come out as all of these different symptoms in our beautiful neurodivergent brains and bodies.
So lucky. It seems like from a outsider point of view, it seems really tricky. And then you're like, I think it's my hormones because I'm getting heavy bleeding and migraines and insomnia. And then I feel like I'm crazy once a month. But how do we spot what the pattern is?
Exactly. What you need to do is spot the pattern. The first thing I would be doing is tracking. So tracking your cycle and tracking your symptoms. With the histamine issues that I see, the symptoms that I'll commonly see is heavy bleeding. It's also related to endometriosis. So if you're diagnosed or not, you have painful periods. It can be related to histamine. You also may have headaches or migraines. So these are the headaches and migraines that you're getting around ovulation and around 7 days before your cycle. And that is because it's related to your estrogen and changes in estrogen. But those are the things that you want to look at. So when are they happening? Insomnia as well. So some people will have this chronic insomnia, or they have it just in that week before their period. Also, not even insomnia, just not feeling well rested, like you're a really light sleeper. So you can go to sleep, okay, probably because you're exhausted. But then if your kids walk past, go to the bathroom or something, you wake up. So you're not actually going into that deep sleep state. And then also you may have some gut symptoms. So some bloating, diarrhea, constipation, and that can relate to some of the histamine issue actually coming from your gut as well. So tracking when these are happening throughout your cycle and talking to your family about it. So when we're talking about PMS, PMDD, having a conversation with your family members, maybe just after your cycle when you know your moods are great, and making them aware of, I think this is what's happening. I'm going to start tracking. Let's see if we can understand if this is a cyclic thing that's happening for me. So yeah, that's definitely the first step. So if you suspect that histamine is involved, another thing that you can do, and I only recommend just trialing this, not long term, is have an antihistamine at that time. So take an antihistamine around day 21 or ovulation, or when you have tracked and noticed that your moods dip dramatically, or you have the migraines or something else going on. take an histamine and see if anything is different in that month. So that can be a really great test. But I don't advocate for long-term taking of antihistamines because of the side effects of those.
So let's just say if a listener thought they had an issue with histamine from what you've said and took a antihistamine, what would it look like if it was that? Like, how would you know from taking an antihistamine? Is it immediate?
Well, it depends on what your symptoms are and then the lack of them.
If you took one for 24 hours, you get 24-hour coverage, what would you expect? Could you tell me an example or a story of someone you knew? Because it's not obvious to me. I know that sounds really silly. Like, I would be there the whole time going, I don't know, is it working or not? I just overthink it.
Like I said, you just have to try. It would be maybe that, so some people really notice that particular real down, decreasing mood, and then their mood isn't so bad. They're not so snappy. Or maybe their family notice it. They're like, oh, you didn't get angry at me. I didn't have to walk on eggshells. So those kind of things. Or particularly the headaches and migraines. That's going to be very obvious because you don't get one.
And then after the 24-hour period or how long that it would come back?
Yep.
Okay. And so you go, wow, I didn't have that yesterday, but now I have that today.
Well, it depends on how long your symptoms normally last for. But yeah, some people it's really just in that few days or couple of days. But if you're more of a week-long person, then maybe not so much. You won't notice it as much.
Okay. So if we look at, because obviously I talk about this a lot with people being misdiagnosed. So presenting to a GP with anxiety or feeling down, and then often the GP will give you or prescribe you an SSRI, offer you a mental health care plan. How does inflammation tie into this whole thing? Because I see people that go down that route and actually it was a hormone issue, not necessarily anything else. How does it all tie in?
So like what is underlying for you? What is the factor that is causing your moods to decrease? SSRIs work by keeping serotonin hanging around for longer in the brain. So if your low moods are caused by a change in your serotonin, then they're going to work just perfectly fine. But if they don't work for you, then there may be some other reason that you are feeling low. You can have low moods because of changes in other neurotransmitters like dopamine. I'm sure we're all aware of that now with ADHD, but also GABA. So GABA is your calming neurotransmitter. It helps you to relax and it actually is modulated by progesterone. So in the last half of your cycle, so your progesterone increases with your estrogen at, say, if you have a perfect 28-day cycle at day 21, so 7 days before your cycle. So in that 7 days before your period, both estrogen and progesterone decrease. So you can have changes in your dopamine and serotonin, but also your GABA because of your progesterone as well. So your moods could be low because of a GABA problem and the SSRI isn't going to do anything for that. So it depends on what's causing it. So same if it's histamine, because we are talking about histamine, adding in an SSRI isn't going to change or affect what's going on with your histamine. We need to really look at what it is that's going on and why. And how the hormones are affecting it too, as well, because there's a very interesting relationship between estrogen and histamine, which I think I talked about in that episode a year and a half ago. So yeah, understanding, is it actually histamine that's the problem caused from gut issues, genetic issues, or is it a high estrogen issue as well? So it can be quite complicated, but what I do is I will use testing to understand what it is. So we test all of these things to find out, okay, what is it? What is the underlying reason that you're feeling this way at this time of the month?
Okay. So you investigate rather than just handing out the same. And it's not the GP's fault because psychiatry hasn't had a breakthrough in a long time, but they don't have a lot of tools there in their tool belt, really.
They have available. Yeah.
You have a great GP. They don't have a very big tool belt. They've only got a couple of things they can offer. Whereas I suppose a naturopath, if you're doing all your testing, you've got a lot more options to then work with. So what could women do if they were suspecting that this was happening? What would be useful things to try or to do?
Yeah. If you suspect that histamine might be contributing, one thing you can do is actually try a low histamine diet. Histamine can increase in your body due to a couple of factors, which I didn't go through yet. So if you have some gut issues, addressing those gut issues, doing a gut test, understanding if you have a gut infection and what's going on there. The foods that you eat. So if you have a diet high in histamines, which is interesting because if you're eating healthy and doing what a lot of the people on TikTok are telling you to do for your gut health, you may actually be increasing histamines in your diet. So you want to be avoiding fermented foods So kombucha, bone broth, all the things that are apparently good for you, kimchi, but also other fermented things like red wine, aged cheeses, slow-cooked meats, which coming into winter now will be doing a lot, and also reheating your meals because when meats are reheated, they release histamine. You can trial decreasing some of these foods and eating more fresh foods. So you can Google and have a look at low histamine diets and have a bit of a look at it. The important thing to note is if you have an eating disorder, please don't try this. Have a look at some other options or work with a dietitian or your other support on this. And also, it's not all or nothing when it comes to histamine. It's a bucket. So it's about how much you're putting in. You can eat certain amounts of certain foods. You can reheat some foods, but it's about how much you're having. If you're having a slow-cooked meal with red wine and cheese beforehand, and you had a smoothie in the morning with avocado and spinach, and then you had tomato-based pasta at lunchtime, like that's a big histamine bucket meal. So it's about decreasing the amounts that you have. So that's something that people can do at home with food to help lower their histamine. You can also look at certain nutrients. So I always recommend working with a practitioner on those as well, though. But vitamin C, it helps to eliminate your histamine from your body. But obviously, caution with stimulant medications. You don't want to take vitamin C with stimulant medications. But if you're not taking them, then vitamin C can be really helpful to help support the DAO enzyme. So the enzyme that gets rid of histamine in the gut. Also NAC, which a lot of people did take NAC in COVID. All us naturopaths sold out of NAC. So that is a great mast cell support and not necessarily related to histamine, but to help with inflammation and neuroinflammation. Saffron. Saffron is my favorite for ADHD, PMDD, PMS, all of those things. And it's safe with stimulant medications too.
They are some great options that you've listed. But then, of course, a lot of these things you need to look to get somebody who's experienced to prescribe. You don't want to go ahead and just start taking saffron and whatever you can get your hands on. So if you are listening to this episode, or if a listener is listening to this episode and they're thinking, oh, actually, from what you've said, I think I possibly could have a histamine issue.
Yeah.
What would you recommend doing from here?
Well, I'd recommend working with a practitioner that understands histamine because it is quite complex. There can be a few different causes. So there are some functional medicine doctors as well who are all over this too. So you want to be checking your hormones. So testing your hormones at the correct times of the month. So these are some things you can do beforehand, get ready, get prepared. You want to check hormones on day 2 and day 21. You can also have your whole blood histamine checked, but it needs to be done at a lab that's going to do it accurately. So yeah, working with a practitioner on that is a good idea as well. And you could also look at getting your genes tested to find out which ones might be slow, might have a difference that are affecting your histamine. So it's about working with someone who can help you to understand what's underlying so that you can support it rather than trying everything willy-nilly.
Well, that was a really interesting start to the mini series. I love where we're going because I think there's going to be a lot of value from actually understanding for ourselves because we can't leave it up to medical practitioners, go to one place, assume that they're knowledgeable about everything, and then take that as the one piece of advice. I think we've all got that from the experience of getting diagnosed with ADHD. So I really appreciate your time. If you would like to hear more from Kylie, please follow her on Instagram. I will put her links into the show notes.
Thanks, Jane. I'm also going to have a special page on my website for your listeners. So kyliesmart.com.au/ADHD mums, and that's the link you'll put in there. So I'll have some special offers as well for people who work with me just for listening to you, Jane, because I love you and your listeners so much.
Oh, this is going to be great. Well, we are going to put a special website link into the show notes so it's very easy and clear to where exactly to go on Kylie's website if you'd like to work together further. Kylie has very generously offered a discount code. So you can jump in there, check out her course, check out what she has up for offer. And until next week, if you've loved Kylie, she's going to be back next week. We're doing another 2 episodes in the mini series on hormones. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Quick announcement. Did you know that we have an ADHD mums shop filled with resources designed just for you? These resources are packed with answers to the most frequently asked questions I get sent in via email. Everything from understanding ADHD and autism to practical tips for daily life. There's also a free assessment tool. If you're wondering about ADHD or autism for yourself or your little one, don't forget to check out the free assessment tool under free resources section on my website, adhdmums.com.au.